Welcome to Here for the Cocktail Party. I'm Sean.
And I'm Ryan.
Each week, we'll be sipping cocktails, spilling tea, and diving into the latest gossip on Tayshia's season of The Bachelorette.
Kiki with us every week as we overanalyze the contestants' love connection and follow their journey with a healthy dose of alcohol and skepticism. And this week, we're recapping episode 7.
Which is my lucky number. And so I am excited that we were drinking classic martinis in honor of Bennett because, oh boy, I feel like we needed to dedicate something on this podcast to Bennett because he is showing up with all of the good television.
Bennett, sweet, sweet Bennett. Sometimes he just reminds me of American Psycho serial killer, and sometimes he's just a king, and I don't even care that it's a roller coaster of emotions. He's great.
He's great. We're here for it. I think he is the fan favorite. If there was like a Mr. Congeniality contest, I think he would actually win this season.
I don't know. I feel like he's kind of polarizing. You either like you like him, but it's not like a true like, you just like him on TV. You know what I mean? He's like one of those characters that is just like, the season would be super boring without him, but do we necessarily really like him? I don't know. I'm confused.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, we like to make fun of this show, and I think for our purpose, Bennett is a like in our book.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's golden, but...
So as we obviously get the ad placements for La Quinta, then it zooms into the guys, and Chasen and Noah are having a bro moment, which I'm very confused because I thought everyone hated Noah at this point. So why are they showing him having a one-on-one with Chasen? But I guess Chasen's a douchebag, right?
Yeah, losers attract losers.
Exactly. But the producer set it up nicely where Chasen and Noah are talking and the group of guys are just staring at them like they are sending all of their hatred towards Noah to them. And it is a classic Bachelorette moment where the guys have picked their side and Noah is not it.
No. He is now officially the villain, and that only gets clearer as we go on to the episode.
Exactly. But then Chris Harrison, of course, breaks up the tension, and he loves stirring the pot because, of course, he has that comment about Noah stealing the group rose.
Way to rub salt in the wound, Chris.
He was like, you know what? If you're going to make me work for my money, at least I can rub salt into the wound.
He was very salty this episode, and I was loving it.
I think he's getting over it real quick. He does not want to work for his paycheck anymore.
He's like, Bachelor Nation likes me more when I'm a little sassy. So we have group date one, number one, and apparently they're going to be competing for the one-on-one, because of course they are. On the group date portion is Bennett, Ivan, Blake, Riley, Damar, Kenny, Zach. And they have to write and perform a love song. And I want to shake every Bachelor producer and ask them why they are doing this to us again. Because Listen to Your Heart was enough. Stop with the songs. Also, I love how they didn't even have a musician on there to help. Like, everyone they probably called, their agent was like, listen, 4 minutes of airtime teaching someone how to write a bad song is just not worth quarantining for 2 weeks. Sorry!
They are up in their mansions, those musicians, and they are not leaving it. And I don't blame them, but you're right. They left these guys high and dry. Like, and producers are really trying to go towards Listen to Your Heart 2.0, and I don't understand.
You know, it was even worse than that because they equipped them with mandolins, accordions, acoustic guitars, the like box that you drum on. Stop it. Please stop.
They were like, well, how could we make this worse? Oh, I know. Give them instruments they can't play. Like, the only thing they were missing were the horrible maracos. Okay? They should have brought those in. Yes, and a cowbell. Like, if they're going to make it worse, they might as well bring out those.
And this is where Bennett lost a couple of points for me, though, because, of course, he mentions there were no music courses in Harvard. He drops the H-bomb again. But then he says, but I did spit some flow for my high school friends, and that just foreshadows on, you know, some Hannah G-type rapping that's going to happen in the near future.
He already dropped the H-bomb, and that already put me in a bad mood. And I was like, I hope you fucking fail like you failed the grammar and math quiz last episode.
Ugh. So Zach tries the drum thing. Kenny apparently has no musical talent, even though he hangs out with boy bands all the time. That was awful.
He couldn't phone a friend. He couldn't phone a boy band and be like, give me some advice, bro.
The producers probably called some of his clients and even they were like, nah, that's cool. We're good.
Good luck, Kenny.
Blake not only utilizes the accordion, but also the mandolin. And Riley's face during all of this is, I think, what all of our faces were doing. So props to Riley.
Riley always has the reaction of the people, and I am here for it. I swear Blake's song was his serial killer theme song. Like, that is exactly what it would sound like before he kills Tayshia in her sleep.
A horror movie score featuring the accordion and a mandolin.
Exactly. Tayshia, run. Run as fast as you can.
Then Riley gives us a little bit of Shakespeare, which he's done in a prior episode. This guy likes his poems.
He was really smooth again, and he's like, well, Tayshia didn't see the last episode, so I can do the Shakespeare thing again.
Yeah, he was like, Tayshia, wherefore art thou, Tayshia?
Hey, you asked for a Shakespeare moment. Riley gave it to you.
That's true. It's true. It's true. Here is where Bennett raps, and the only thing that stuck in my mind is how he rhymed Tayshia with mate ya, and I was out after that.
But then I caught Bree with Bennett, and I'm like, this motherfucker is coming up with so many taglines that he better milk them in all his marketing campaigns on his Instagram from now on.
There'll be t-shirts, I'm sure. Then our sweet Ivan, he took her on stage. Like, this boy has been to an R&B concert, like a Boys to Men concert, because that's how you get the ladies. You take some on stage and you sing to them. And Ivan just knew that that was the route to go. None of the other guys did it. So, Ivan, you go.
Ivan, you continuously melt my heart, and I am just going to declare you my second boyfriend, because the passion you showed on this stage is definitely boyfriend material. So you know what, you're my second boyfriend, Joe. Ivan, I mean, what could go wrong with two of these sweet, sweet boys?
Sweet man. Then last but not least is Damar, and he has a guitar, which he definitely doesn't know how to play, but like kind of fakes it the best out of everybody else. And he sings about how Tayshia is a mocha latte and how he caffeinates her. And I was just like, Starbucks should get up on this new jingle, because it's all about coffee and deliciousness.
You know, he did sell it, like you said. And even though it was so corny, I was living for it. Tayshia is a mocha latte, and I am drinking it up, Damar, okay?
He tried. He really put his heart into it. So you have to give him props for that.
So then it ends the whole music portion, and Tayshia says to the group, I was so blown away today. And were you? Because that was horrible music talent at best.
Ugh, please stop music date, please.
But of course, my second boyfriend, Ivan, wins, and I am so here for it. He gets a one-on-one with Tayshia, and I think this is the one-on-one that we have all been waiting for. She has been like piddle-paddling around with the boys. Time to find the real man.
Yes. And it's also a very unique one-on-one for this entire franchise because they talk about real issues and actually get to know each other. And it's fantastic. But they start off and she says that they're going to order room service, but she has to get the phone from her room. And then they start playing The Floor is Lava. And all I could think of was in New Girl, True American is the game that they play, where they just drink and make up fake historical facts about things. And I was obsessed. I was like, someone's either a New Girl fan or... But it was very cute. It looked fun.
It was very fun. And at first, I felt like Ivan was just leaving her in the dust. Like, he was like, well, I'll figure out the way to go, and then you just follow me. And then he was like, oh, come with me. I'll be your knight in shining armor. Like, it was very cute. And before he gets on the phone to order room service, pillow fight breaks out. And I swear, this is the producer's wet dream to happen.
I have a serious question. So, I know that some pillows are filled with feathers, but they do not actually sell, like, pillow fight pillows like that where the feathers get all over the damn place. Like, where does one purchase those?
No. So you basically are crafty and you just cut the pillow open that is full of feathers. And then next thing you know, you can just freaking have a pillow fight like that.
I've never seen anybody in real life have a pillow fight with that kind of pillow before. Just a trope in all of these shows and movies.
Could you imagine cleaning up that mess? No, thank you.
Hell no. I would kick out whoever brought that fucking pillow and threw it at me.
I would be like, you are uninvited from this party. Please, I will send you the maid bill.
Get out of here.
And then, of course, they play Twister. They also have all of this food in front of them in... I don't know about you, but it looked like it was all microwaved and horrible.
They're probably in a skeleton crew at the La Quinta. I'm not sure the chefs are there.
I want a 5-star chef, goddammit.
Okay, but their ice cream was giving me Kevin McAllister vibes in Home Alone when he's like going crazy because the family's gone and he has the giant bucket of ice cream. Also, the only thing that I could think about besides Kevin McAllister was them like sharing the ice cream and being like, 2020 germs, no!
Yeah, but of course, then they get into more serious talk. And I am so proud of Ivan. He brings up George Floyd and black incarceration rates and so many other things. And like you said, this is the realest conversation that they have ever had on The Bachelorette.
Yeah, I honestly think that Ivan's question of how have the events of the world affected you today was like the most provocative real question that's ever been asked in the like history of the franchise of the show.
And you could tell she was taken aback because I don't think she was expecting to get asked that question.
Yeah, just in general, though, like them having a conversation about what's going on outside of this bachelor, bachelorette bubble, we rarely see. And I got into Big Brother over the summer because I was at a deficit of reality TV because Bachelor in Paradise wasn't on. And they did a really good job of talking about the political climate and sort of everything that was going on. And I thought that was really cool of CBS to like kind of air this because, you know, they're in this house in this bubble and like competing, doing stupid games, but like you actually really got to know these people. And this was so surprising for The Bachelorette as a franchise. And, you know, kudos to ABC for actually airing this conversation because this was something that they could have totally shied away from. And that shows a slight change in their mindset, you know. So I thought it was really interesting, and not only did we get to know them, but I feel like they actually got to know each other, which is also a rarity.
Exactly. Like, Ivan put all the cards on the table, and I am here for it.
Yes. So this was a great one-on-one. And then they end it with like watching a childhood slideshow of Tayshia, and she was the cutest. So that was adorable.
It was so adorable. And when she was like, oh, they're going to watch a movie. And I was so excited, like, oh, what movie are they going to watch? And then it was a slideshow of Tayshia. So, I mean, a little less excited, but she was such a cute baby.
So cute. Well, in between that, they cut into, you know, the guys hanging out, and Bennett is fucking with Noah because Noah is like, you know, I really want to hang out with her more, blah, blah, blah. And Bennett's like, you already have a rose. This is where Bennett says the best insult into the camera, and he says, I'm glad that he shaved that skid mark above his lip. Oh my God. And then we get the date card for date number two, and it's Zach, Kenny, Damar, Bennett, Riley, Blake. How far are you willing to go for love? I thought it was interesting that it was like pretty much a repeat of the people in the group date from the first date. We didn't get any variety.
Thank you. She literally invited the people who lost on the first group date onto the second group date. And I was like, wait, why are you inviting the same people? What about Brendan? What about
Ben? Spencer?
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever. I love these guys, except Blake.
It was weird.
Yeah, it was weird. And it made it way more weird because Becca and Sydney come in on the group date. So they come in and they explain the dates. They split the men off in group of two, and they're supposed to do all these dares. And of course, before they freaking go do the dares, of course, Becca freaking says, do the damn dares. Of course she used her damn fucking crutch phrase. Like, girl, get over it.
I have to say that as much as that line annoys me, it's nice to see that she has some sort of sense of humor about it, because she kind of gave like a giggle after she said it. She knows it's annoying.
So the pairs take their theme park looking map to go do these dares. And girl, I don't know how you felt about these, but this was some shit.
I'm just not here for eating anything gross. It was like Fear Factor. So they first show Riley and Zach and with all bunch of smoothies to choose from. And Riley picks one that has like cow intestines and some scorpion shit. And he, you know, he chugs it. It looks disgusting. But my favorite was Tayshia had her binoculars and she just looks at her gal pals and she goes, oh, I wonder if he's going to vomit. That was perfect.
Like, who would have thought that Tayshia would be like this and be like, oh, I really hope they vomit. Like, what?
Well, I think it's a function of, you know, none of us really got to see our friends, especially our close friends who live far away because we can't travel to see anybody. And so I feel like them being able to be together, the three of them, and just like the pure joy that they had, first of all, of like being able to hang out and drink some champagne, and second of all, making these idiot guys run around and do stupid shit. And like, they were legit laughing, and their laughter made me laugh. I think the first time that I've had like an actual sincere laugh, like for this show.
They just wanted these men to be miserable, and I think it was just so real and so comical, and I loved it. And the next challenge they show is Bennett and Damar go up to Chris Harrison eating a freaking lobster lunch, which I'm like, okay, he earned this.
And drinking Vuv. And you know, Bennett was like, oh, can I skip this part and sit down with you?
But they have to get Chris Harrison's autograph, which of course boosted his ego. The producers were like, we need to boost his ego. He's been working too hard. And I was expecting them to pull down their pants and like him autograph their butt, but he just autographs like the inside of his thigh. Like, how boring.
Yeah, not fun. Do better, Chris.
Do better. And then, of course, Blake and Kenny get the first worst challenge. They have to, over a megaphone, that broadcasts all over the resort proved to Tayshia their best orgasm.
Kenny was so frightening. I wanted it to stop immediately.
I'm like, no way that's how you orgasm. Because if it is, like Becca said, we're going to call 911 if that's how you orgasm.
Then Blake is doing all of these movements. And Becca's like, well, at least he's bendy. And so the rest of the guys are hearing these sounds because it's like over the, you know, the speakers. And Easy just goes, Blake has some demons.
The fact that Easy knew it was Blake, it just was just the cherry on top.
Yeah. I will say, though, when I did some high school theater, some productions, my friend and I would steal the microphones and hide backstage and say really inappropriate things into the microphone so that nobody could see it was us doing it. But obviously, the teachers knew it was us and we got yelled at and reprimanded. But it was so much fun. So you think this is the worst part of the date? This is the part I would have had the most fun doing, but I would have been out of drink cow intestines.
Yeah, cow intestines, I don't think was anyone's cup of tea. But moving on to the next portion, they have the guys eat habanero peppers and have them propose to Tayshia. Wow, that is excruciating.
Yeah, Kenny looks like he's going to barf. Damar is just very sweaty and his eyes are tearing. Bennett, though, he pulls through with the speech.
He does. I feel like something just clicked in his brain and he actually was sentimental and real for a moment. I was honestly so surprised at Bennett.
Yeah, pulled out all the stops.
So, of course, Bennett steals the show with the proposal. No one else was really that entertaining. And we go on to the night portion.
Yeah, so this is the truth part because the day part was the dare part.
Ooh.
And Bennett sits with her first and he's like, it's not like me to feel feelings. And this is where the American Psycho came into my head. but then we learn a little bit about him. He said that he was engaged and almost got married, but he knew that it wasn't right. So he called off the wedding. And he said today was a pivot point for him and he really thinks this process is working and he's feeling really good about the relationship. So Bennett really showed his serious side today.
Yeah, he is really pulling out all of the serious cards and I'm just very confused. I want the Bennett with the damn martini in the bathrobe. Bring him back.
Yeah, I want bathrobe Bennett back. Because it's like they're not going to end up together. There's no way. So you almost want him just to be continued to be like the comic relief and not have feelings for her or pretend to have feelings for her or doing whatever he's doing right now. And then Blake talks to her. I don't know if I just wrote him off from the beginning that he annoyed the fuck out of me, but she seems to buy into his stuff that he's like very soft on the inside and very kind and I just don't get that vibe from him. His, like, eyes pop out of his head when he speaks about serious things. And, like, I don't know. I can't do it with him. And apologies if you really are a nice person, but I think you're full of shit.
I think he's full of shit. Every time he opens his mouth, I just think it ruins the moment. And so we just need to get on with it. Shut up, Blake. Show him less because I want to see everything else. And I want to see Riley, which he was so nice. They had like a little nice moment. So after they give Riley a cute little moment, they flash to Kenny and Kenny is ready to meet the parents.
Well, he says that he's a smart ass joker. And she's like, so you're going to, if you meet my parents, you're going to be a smart ass. And he goes, no, when I meet your parents, I'll be normal. Like, oh. Okay, so you're, like, not normal now? What's happening? You freak.
So what does that mean right now? Like, you have multiple personalities, like, asking for a friend who really respects Tayshia.
He's another one. Gotta go. Then this was, like, the weirdest one to me, but Tayshia's still into it. Zach He's like very serious. And he says he gets nervous around her and he knows he's ready for marriage. And then he's like staring at her and she's like, what are you staring at? He's like, I'm not staring at you. And then they just make out. I was very confused as to what happened in that interaction, but they were both super into it, whatever that was.
Is it just me or does it sound like he has a mouth guard in when he talks?
No, he's a little garble marbled. He's got a situation happening. It's okay.
I don't understand what she sees. I don't see it. And he just needs to go.
He's top four. Mark my words.
Don't say that. His garble marble mouth has to go.
And then our beloved Tayshia gives her shout outs and then shoots down everybody's dreams except for Zach. And she gives Zach the rose.
I just love that she gives at least 3 to 4 men shout outs. And she's like, but it's not you. But I commend your effort. So then we zoom out and another producer's wet dream comes to fruition. Convince Ben and Ed to go see Tayshia at 2:30 in the fucking morning. Is that a joke?
Too good. Too good.
And of course, they zoom into Ben and Ben's like, I have to take my shot. I have to go visit Tayshia. And then like 2 minutes later, they zoom in on Ed and there's Ed's like, I have to take my shot. I have to go see Tayshia. And I'm like, this is a disaster I've been waiting for all season.
Ben just goes, I haven't done a secret mission in several years. I guess now that I'm thinking about it, I think he was in the military, so it makes more sense. But when he first said it, I didn't think about that. I was just like, what is he talking about?
I mean, it's still a little creepy.
But now that I'm putting two and two together, he was in the military, so perhaps he did go on actual secret missions. So I'm sorry that I laughed at you when you said that the first time. But it threw me off guard. I was like, what?
It definitely was something that I wouldn't expect. And so, of course, they zoom out and Ben and Ed are walking. And you assume that they are walking to the same room. But little and behold, Ed knocks on the door and Chris Harrison answers. Oh, how awkward.
It was so good. The producers must fucking hate him. Because they were like, yeah, her room's that way. And then they giggled like evil masterminds in the corner and watched him make an asshole out of himself.
Fucking Chris Harrison opens the door and goes, her room is halfway across the resort.
But then he goes, you want a drink? And we get the most awkward conversation between Ed and Chris Harrison as they bond over a glass of red wine. But Ben is able to win it in Tayshia's actual room with her physically, not on the other side of the resort. And he apologizes for not taking her aside last week, and he felt really bad, and she called him out, and of course she forgives him.
But it just blows my mind that she likes him. He looks like a Quasimodo. Like, his face is just messed up. And maybe it's from all those secret missions.
He's got a lot of missions. My favorite part, though, is, like, Ed seriously couldn't find her room. Or that's what they want us to think, because he never even gets to talk to her. They're like, get the fuck out of here, Ed. Then we go to the cocktail party, and Ben steals her first. So
he said he would.
He said he would. He learned his lesson. This is where Riley comes in. Like, he's writing a goddamn Hallmark movie. He's got a relationship contract because he's a lawyer and he knows how to write contracts.
Ooh, let me get this contract and you will be my girlfriend. And it's like, that is the least romantic thing you could have ever done.
God.
Yeah, she's making out with everyone until, of course, Noah comes with his road rash stash shaved off, and he just is a rat and just rats them all out on a conversation that never happened, and he is just pumping toxic gas into the air to make Tayshia believe that these men don't trust her judgment. Like, get the fuck out.
Yeah, he pretty much convinces her that the guys are saying that she gave the rose to Noah to shake things up and start drama in the house. And it's like, who said that?
But for once, I actually believe these guys, because this is a nice group of guys. Like, they are all nice. They are all mature. They're not like 22-year-old punks. And so it just is like, Noah, you literally just made this whole scenario up in your head. And Tayshia, of course, cancels the damn cocktail party because she is so upset.
We hate a canceled cocktail party, but she's pissed because she thinks that they are questioning her decisions and her integrity. And she goes, if you're going to be questioning me, I'll gladly walk you outside. Okay? I'll see you guys at the rose ceremony. She just throws them a K. You know she means business.
Yeah, she does. She fucking dropped that mic.
So then we get to the rose ceremony because, you know, the rest of the cocktail party is canceled and we don't even get any screen time from your first boyfriend, Joe, which is very sad. And so the roses from the dates are Noah from last week, Ivan and Zach. And then she gives out the rest of them to Ben, Easy, Riley, Brendan, Bennett, Blake, Damar, Spencer. And this is where it really gets hard. Ed. Come on. Fucking Ed over Dr. Joe. Get out of town.
Get out of town. Why would you dump my first boyfriend, Tayshia? How dare you? And then along with Joe, boy band manager Kenny goes home. Nerdy boy Jordan and douchebag Chasen, which, like, good riddance on Chasen. Like, he needed to go 2 episodes ago. But, you know, that's the end of the episode. I am so sad to see boyfriend Joe go home. But I didn't think they would work out anyway. But, you know, that is it. And next week, we are going to pour one out for Joe. And we are switching it up. Oh, no, it's not a cocktail. We are going to drink a beer because you can't pour a cocktail out. That's just waste of resources. So we can pour a horrible beer out for Joe and then drink the rest of it. But I will probably pour 98% of the beer out because it's disgusting.
We also stalked Joe on Instagram, and he doesn't have a lot of posts, but the one post of an alcoholic beverage is in fact a beer, so this one really is for him. We heart you, Joe.
Well, it's time to say our goodbyes, but join us next week when we dive into episode 8 of Tayshia's season and we see all of the men throw down on Noah. Hopefully someone beats him up.
Yeah, I'm excited. It looked like there was like a haunted house situation, a 2-on-1 situation. Chef's kiss. Until then, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Here for the Cocktail Party, all one word, for more content and cocktail recipes. And with that, happy Thanksgiving, everyone, or whatever you're doing. Have a nice day off, hopefully.
Have a nice day off. If you're like me, ditch the Thanksgiving food and order Thai takeout. So support small businesses, y'all. See you next week.
Bye.